going to sit down, Blaine? Okay. The first one is this. Why did the banana... Why did the banana go to the doctor?
Oh, no. He wasn't peeling very well.
Yeah, he wasn't peeling very well. All right, here comes the next one. Why didn't the orange win the race? No, Chantal, no. Why didn't the orange win the race? No, because he ran out of juice.
Where did you get your juice from?
Right, what is the difference between a teacher and a train? No idea? A teacher tells you to spit it out, but a train says, choo, choo. That's enough for today, I think, don't you? Oh, dear Lord. Bad to enjoy that one, I can see. All right, everybody, are we ready for the chat? Ready? Okay. Are we okay? Everyone okay? Good. All right. Listen carefully today, because there's three little separate bits to what I want to talk about today. But first I want to read to you from Psalm 77, and it says, I will remember the Lord's works. Yes, I will remember your ancient wonders. I will reflect on all you have done and meditate on your actions. So I'm just talking on something very, very simple this afternoon. And that is Jesus has, Jesus can, and Jesus will. That my whole talk this afternoon is about remembering ourselves that same way, that same Jesus who worked wonders in the past is still working wonders right now. Even now in this building, Jesus is still working those same wonders that we read about in the Bible. And that he will keep his promises that he has made, not just last year, but today and tomorrow and for the rest of eternity, because his promises never change. They are strong and they are secure and they are sealed in his blood. But before we talk about what he can do and what he will do, we need to remember what Jesus has already done. Because, listen, faith will grow in the soil of remembrance. That when we remember Jesus and what he's done for us, the soil of our hearts, the faith will grow. And sprout a harvest of faith. That when we forget what God has done for us, that's when fear will come and fill that vacuum in our lives. But when we remember the grace of God, that is when our faith starts to rise again. Jesus has, he has already done it. Psalm 77, where I started reading from, said, I will remember the Lord's works. In other words, I will remember everything that God has already done for me. But now the psalmist, the writer of the psalm, he wrote that during a time of distress, that he was overwhelmed, that he was fearful and he felt uncertain, just like many of us feel sometimes. And maybe you feel like that this afternoon. Maybe you feel overwhelmed, fearful, and uncertain. But he made a decision. I will remember. And that he's not suggesting it, but he's actually showing us that when we remember what God has already done, he's actually giving us a survival strategy. That some days, my day is so like hectic and overwhelming and frustrating. The minute I remember what God has done for me before, it lifts me. It's something that I can't fathom. But I felt lifted and I felt built up. You know, I don't know if you've ever tried to walk through fog and you can't even see what's ahead. Faith works the same way, church. That when we can't see the future, that's the good time to look back. When things look so uncertain and unclear, remembering is not being about all like nostalgic about God, but it's about gaining our perspective on who he is, what he's done for us. And I have found and I've learned that the same God who's brought me out before will bring me through again. John 19 verse 30 tells us when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." This was on the cross. That those three words, "It is finished," they changed everything. Those weren't words of defeat. He wasn't saying, "Oh, I'm finished." But they were words of victory. He said, the battle is won. It's done. I've got the victory. That Jesus did the hardest part for us. He conquered sin. He defeated death. And he reconciled every single one of us to God. Hallelujah. Romans 5:1 says, "Since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ." Through who?
Jesus Christ.
That means that our salvation isn't fragile, but it is complete. It is finished by Jesus. He purchased our salvation. We cannot lose our salvation. That we don't have to actually go out and earn what he's already paid for. You know, if you owe a debt, taken a loan from someone and it gets a bit messy because you haven't repaid it and they're always there. And then somebody comes and they say, "Don't worry, I've paid that debt for you. It's clear, it's done." That's exactly what Jesus has done with our sin. He says, "I've come and I've paid your debt of sin in full. It's done with." Now we're not going to, it's going to be really silly if we stand and we think, "Well, I'm still going to worry about that money." Because what's the point? It's paid for, it's done. So why are we worrying about our shame and our guilt of our sin? Why are we still carrying that with us when Jesus has said, "I've paid it in full. It is finished." Jesus has already won. So what is Jesus doing now? Like right now, I want to read Ephesians 3 and verse 20. It says, "Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think." Even now, as we're sitting here, now to him. Who's him? Who's he talking about? Now to him. Anyone know? Who can do above and beyond all that we ask or think? Amen. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is working in you today. That right now, if you allow Jesus to work in you, he will. So the question isn't, can he? But the question is, will you trust that he can? We run out of strength. Jesus doesn't. We run out of answers, but Jesus never does. You ever seen a child learning to swim? I can't watch. I'm like, oh my goodness. And then they start panicking in the water, and the swimming instructor's hands are already beneath them so that they don't sink. You see, the strength that's holding them from underneath has been there all along. It's there. It holds them up. And in the same way, Jesus can hold you before you even realize that you're sinking. That faith declares a great reality, and that is that he is able. That Jesus can calm storms. Mark 4:39, he got up, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the disciple cried, "Teacher, don't you care that we are going to die?" And they believed his presence, but they doubted his power. Does that sound familiar? Like we say, oh, well, I know Jesus is with me, but then when everything goes wrong, we're like saying, oh, can I trust him? But he can still speak peace over our storms, over our fear, over our loss, over our anxiety, over our uncertainties. In John 6, 5 loaves and 2 fishes became a feast for thousands. Matthew 8 says, "Lord, if you are willing," and Jesus answered, "I'm willing." He was talking about a healing. That he can still heal bodies, he can still heal our minds, he can still heal our hearts. That he's not just able, but he's willing to heal us. And what does he promise to do? This is where Jesus will come in. We look forward to tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Philippians 1:6 says, "He who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion." What that is really saying is Jesus will finish what he has started within you. That you may feel unfinished. And that's okay, you know that. It's okay to feel unfinished. I still feel unfinished. Because that just means that God is still working in you. He's still busy. That God's not a builder who's careless or a builder that abandons projects halfway. That if we're still breathing, that means we've still got purpose and that he is building that purpose in us. That Jesus will reward our faithfulness. Matthew 25, 23 says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That even when no one sees the sacrifice you're making for him, Jesus does. He sees it. and he will reward you for it. And then it says, and one day, Revelation 21:4 says, he will wipe away every tear. Death will be no more. He will make everything new. That's our future. Did you know that? The same hands that carried the cross will be the hands that will one day wipe away our tears. You see, Jesus is unchanging. Jesus is our anchor in a world that is constantly shifting. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The world is changing fast. I mean, it's so fast now, it's like every week there's like a different shift in the world. Technology changes, culture changes, opinions change, but Jesus never changes. That Jesus is not an app that needs an update. That Jesus doesn't evolve with social media trends. But when everything shakes, Jesus stays steady. Like a lighthouse in the storm, the waves are crashing up against it, but the light doesn't move. It remains there, steady and strong. The love of Jesus never changes. The truth of Jesus never changes. His mercy never changes, and his mission never changes. That you don't need to fear change when you walk with the one who never changes. Because Jesus has finished the work. Because Jesus can move even right now, this afternoon. Because Jesus will keep every single promise that he's made. And because Jesus is unchanging, you and I can live with a bold faith. The bold faith isn't reckless, but it's a courageous trust in Jesus. It's walking on a word from God, even when you can't see the water holding you. That faith doesn't wait for certainty, but it moves with conviction. That when you know who Jesus is, you don't have to fear what's ahead of you. That the same Jesus who has, who can, and who will is with you right now, this very moment. And if you remember nothing else from today, I ask that you would remember this, that Jesus has been faithful, that Jesus can still move, that Jesus will never fail. I'm going to say it again. Jesus has been faithful, that Jesus can still move, that Jesus will never fail. Amen. Write that in your heart. He's faithful. Yes. That he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And that he doesn't shift, and that you're safe in his hands. Love you, David. Amen. Jesus loves you, mate. But what are you going to do with that now? Are you going to walk out of here and say, oh, Robin spoke a wonderful talk again, and walk out and then, you know, start colliding with each other outside there in our Wickham tomorrow? Or are you going to go out there and encourage one another? Huh? You're going to encourage one another?
Yeah.
And love one another, for goodness sake. Jesus loved you so much, he hung on a cross and he died for you. How dare we hate each other? How dare we collide with each other and fight? What's wrong with us? Jesus is the example for us to follow. Love, peace, joy, perseverance, endurance. Joy, peace, love,
patience,
kindness, healing, provision. That's how it is. You know, don't look and see Jesus as somebody from a Bible story in a book, you know. Don't picture him like that. But picture him as the reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Picture him right there with you, holding your arm as you walk and saying, "Hang on, don't worry, I got you." If you start sinking, he says, "I've got you." If you start going the wrong way, he's got you, and he's saying, "No, no, 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 come this way, come this way." You've got to learn to listen for him speaking into your mind. And how does he speak into your mind? Through reading the Word. You need to focus on Jesus. And not just focus on him. You know, it's not like window shopping where you walk down the road and you look through the window and you just, you know, through the front window and you're looking at something and then you walk away. Jesus isn't like window shopping. It's like when we look at Jesus and we say, "Lord, come in. Come in to my life. I trust you. I trust you. Because I know that you've got my back. And I know that your plan and your purpose for me, you will bring it to completion." The only thing that's going to stop the purpose of God in your life is you. And then you're robbed. And you've missed out, Alan. He's still got a plan for you, mate. Mm-hmm. Don't think the past has changed that at all. His love for you is still the same. His plan for you remains the same, and he will bring it to completion. And you might feel like brokenness and everything else, but he talks about wholeness. He will bring it to you. Say, "Lord, here I am. I'll let you do it." And he will, mate. He'll take that heaviness off you. And that shame. And that guilt. We all mess up, mate. But that's Jesus' speciality. He fixes the mess within our hearts. David, give Jesus a chance. You know when you feel like you're going to explode, like a volcano?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. Ask him to work on that for you. And he will. I understand it. I can explode like a volcano as well, mate. I used to. Should have seen me on that. See me on the M25 when I'm driving.
Oh, no.
Yeah? You know what I do? I just say, "Lord, you help me in this."
Yeah.
Will you do that?
Yeah.
Will you do it?
Yeah.
And you two ladies, shake off the fear. Shake off the fear. Because he's got you both. Barry. There's a big, welcome, good and faithful servant waiting for you, mate. So don't run backwards. Run forwards. Run forwards to Jesus. Because when you focus him on, focus on him, nothing else is going to take your attention. Avoid the distraction and just keep your eyes on him.